Well, good evening to each and every one of you out there in Abbotland. My name is David Nunez. I'm an executive consultant from Edinburgh, Texas, and it is my privilege and honor to be your co-host on tonight's Sunday Night National Business Builder Call. I'm super excited for tonight's featured speaker. This gentleman has a lot of experience in our industry. He is a top income earner in our company and also a top income earner in general in the world. As far as network marketing is concerned, this gentleman has built a ginormous team here in all of Abbotland. So please, if you haven't gotten a pen and paper, please get that right now because you want to make sure you take some notes. And please help me welcome Abbott Ambassador Club member, my good friend, national consultant, Mr. Brian McClure. Brian, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. I appreciate the kind introduction, David. I want to again welcome everybody as well. National business builder call. I literally just walked in the house about 15 minutes ago. Betsy and I flew out to California this past Thursday, and my sister, who's an anesthesiologist and has lived out there for years, retired. And because of COVID and mainly COVID, we couldn't throw her a retirement party until now. So we've been planning this party since 2019, and but we had a great party on Saturday night, and it had me thinking. You know, I like to go into any situation in learning mode. You know, and of course we're planning for the party and picking up the cake and arranging for the balloons and the this and the that, doing all the stuff you do before a really nice party, And I said, you know, I'm just not going to know a whole lot of people here tonight. You know, I've over the years I've gone out there, obviously, and met some of her friends, but not so much her coworkers, not so much the doctor she works with or the nurse anesthetist or, you know, the different people that are, you know, from the hospital, different medical centers that she works with in the Kaiser Permanente system in California. And so I said, this is really going to be interesting. You know, I'm going to meet a lot of people, and I'm, you know, I'm not real good at names, you know, and so I'm sitting there going, okay, well, name association. And she had talked about several of them quite a bit over the years, so I kind of felt like I knew them before I met them. But I, you know, go to the party, and Betsy and I are the host of the party, and everybody's coming up and introducing themselves and so on and so forth. And the whole time in the back of my mind, residing in the back of my mind, I'm sitting there going, okay, what is it that I'm going to, you know, what is it that I'm going to take out of tonight? You know, how am I going to better myself? And so I started engaging in conversations with different coworkers and people that I'd never met before and everything. And all of a sudden I started to get this theme, you know, oh, you're Brian, you know, Allison's talked so much about you. And for those of you that know my sister, several of you have met her at Ambition, you know, she's just a really, you know, kind of a rainbow sunshine type person, you know, always got a smile on her face, positive attitude. And when my kids were young, you know, she was the perfect aunt, you know, she flew all the kids out and did the 2 weeks at Disney World and Legoland and San Diego Animal Park and Knott's Berry Farms. And, you know, I tell people when I pass away and go to heaven, I want an auntie Allison to be my aunt. And so she's really, really close to my kids. And just through the years, you know, and everything that had happened and meeting different people and everything, she talks about us quite a bit. You know, my sister's not married, has never been married, doesn't have children. And so she's always telling people when my kids were younger, she would fly to Austin, you know, about every 3 weeks. You know, she would take a long weekend off of work and she would come here when my kids graduated from high school. She took them anywhere they wanted to go in the world. And Travis went to Australia and Harrison went to China. And so in interacting with her coworkers, they all felt like they knew myself and Betsy and Reed was not able to go, but Travis was there. And so they, you know, saying, oh, Brian, it's been so many years. I've heard about you and I heard about your kids and Betsy, I've heard about you, this, that, and other thing. And then they would talk about Allison. And here's a lesson I want to share with you tonight. You know, they would talk about their coworker Allison, but they wouldn't talk from the sense of being a coworker. They'd talk from the sense of being a friend. And, you know, so what I wanted to do is I wanted to share with you some of the things that they said about my sister. And I want you to reflect on, if you're retiring, okay, and all the people that you'd known from all different, you know, from your work and from, you know, your church or your this or that were coming to a retirement party. And there was your long lost brother or sister. And somebody walked up to them, what would they say about you? You know, what would they espouse about you? And there was a constant theme, a consistent theme that came as these people would come up. And it would go something like this. Oh, Brian, I've heard so much about you. And I know Allison just loves going to Austin all the time and loves your kids. And, you know, Betsy was sitting there. They would engage with Betsy, but, you know, to say, you know, I tell you, you know, Allison is just the most genuine person that I met. She's not pretentious. She just treats you like anybody else. And these were coming from nurses and nurse anesthetists talking about a doctor, you know, and it's just the way my sister interacted with them. They were her coworkers, but they were also her friends, and she didn't hold herself above them. And then another thing that came out, another common denominator, was trust. You know, oh, I would trust your sister with my life. You know, trust this, trust that. You know, I can't tell you how, you know, what an impact she's made on my life. The word generous came up over and over again. You know, how generous she was. And, you know, love was 100%. I only say there's one person that said to me, that came up with a conversation that didn't say about how much they loved her or how loving she was on the patients. And a lot of you may not remember this or may not have known this, but back in 2009, I had bariatric surgery and I got a leak in the bariatric surgery. So I had to have a PICC line and I was very sick for, you know, I was unable to work and just, you know, struggled to get from the chair to the bedroom. And my sister, you know, would come and when it first happened, she, you know, took off of work and stayed for about 3 weeks. And it was the first time that I ever had interacted with my sister as a patient, even though she was my sister and she's my only sibling. I'd never interacted with her as her patient. And you know, just the kindness and the way she, her bedside manner, if you will, is I think what most people would refer to it as, was just incredible. You know, even though she was my sister, I'm going, oh, no wonder she's so well loved. You know, that's just unbelievable. And I had the head of the department, the head of the anesthesia department at the hospital, the system that she works in, said, you know, of all the reviews we get from the patients, year in and year out, your sister has rated above everybody else in the department every single year. And it's just the type of person that she was, you know. I heard the word reliable a lot. You know, she's just so reliable. You know, when I was in a fix and my kids were sick and I needed somebody, she had just worked 8 straight days. And you know, but she's just so reliable as a friend and a coworker. You know, she worked the 9th day to bail me out and, you know, those sorts of things. So not only was it refreshing and was I proud as her younger brother, and it was just a great night and everybody had a great time and all that. But the takeaway that I took was that this person, my sister, had made an impact in these 70, 80 people's lives. And when she gave her little speech and you know, said, hey, the reason you were invited, because I told her, hey, invite the whole department. Well, I've been like 150 people, you know. So, no, I'm not doing that. I'm just inviting people that you know, really, really mean a lot to me. And so she conveyed that in her speech. And there were some people that actually cried. And again, I didn't get on this call tonight to tell you how great and wonderful my sister is, even though she is great and wonderful. I got on it to, and I brought this up as the topic of discussion is, you know, two points. First point is, do you go out and seek improvement in your life on a day in and day out basis? Do you go out to learn or do you go out to teach? What is it that you do? You know, a lot of people just go out, you know, I mean, they wake up and okay. They, you know, they wake up at their alarm goes off at 6:30 and, you know, they take their shower and then they're drinking their cup of coffee. And by 8 o'clock they're in the car and by 8:30 they're walking in the door and then they do A, B, C, D, E, F, G throughout the day, whatever. And, you know, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whatever the routine is, they leave, they, you know, they stop at such and such to pick up groceries and then they come home and then they go to sleep and then they do it all over again. And in that journey, in that day-to-day journey that you have, you know, whether it be in your regular job or something else you're involved with or in your ambient energy business, in that day-to-day journey, do you seek improvement? You know, are you sitting there going, okay, what can I do different? Why, you know, how can I better myself? You know, how can I make a impact in somebody's life? You know, maybe it's just a smile. Maybe it's a thank you, or, you know, maybe it's the person at the door at your building where you say, hey, John, how you doing? And, you know, I've never had a chance to talk to you. You know, are you married? You know, what's going on with you in your life? You know, introduce yourself to people. Never hold yourself above somebody else, you know. And, you know, take the time in your day-to-day routine to better yourself. You know, again, I went into that party going, what lesson can I learn? I knew I was going to meet just a ton of people who knew me for the most part or knew of me, but I didn't know any of them, you know? And so, you know, what was it that I could take away from that experience besides writing a check at the end of the night? What was it that I could take away from that experience? How could I improve myself? How could I make an impact on the people that I was going to meet? You know, what was the learning lesson in this evening rather than showing up for a 3-hour party and with a lot of planning and, you know, presents, we had to, you know, fill up the whole back of the Lexus on the way home. And then, you know, all the rigmarole of throwing a party and hosting a party. But what was it that was going to be lasting? What was I was going to walk away from with? And what happened when all of the testimonies, and these were unsolicited, you know, people were just talking about Allison, you know, and couple people referred to her as Dr. McClure, and they go, don't say I said Dr. McClure, but she's Dr. McClure to me, but she won't let me call her Dr. McClure. She'll insist that I call her Allison, but she's Dr. McClure to me. And you know, it was just not only was it a wonderful evening for Betsy and myself and my sister, our family, and, you know, celebrating the great career that she had, but it was great to know that she had made an impact. And something that I experienced myself when I had my bariatric surgery, is that impact on me in that bedside manner, and how when I was really, really feeling bad, you know, she would just put a smile on my face when I didn't think a smile was possible. So the point of tonight's call, and what I want you to think about, is I want you to start to think about, look at yourself. You know, for those of you that have ever gotten a business card from me, you know, it's a mirror. And I open the mirror up and I have you look in the mirror and I said, you know, if you want to find out the reason for your success or your reason for lack of success, there it is. And then I shut the mirror and, you know, it's got my name and telephone number and all that. And I say, but if I can ever help you, give me a call. So I want you to look in the mirror. I want you to start to think about your New Year's resolutions, for example. How are you on track for your goals for this year? You know, the odds are, you know, usually starting about March or early, actually February, in a lot of instances, January, people just start forgetting about it. You know, it's like there was no accountability. There was, you know, life got in the way. Oh, well, this happened, that happened, you know, so on and so forth. And, you know, all the excuses. And then all of a sudden you're just right back into that rut. You know, you're just right back where you were, even though you came into the year with all these great things. So think about that, but more important is, how can you take, you know, from today, just take it a week, okay? So we're going to start Monday. This this work week from Monday to Friday, go out of your way to be nice to people. Go out of your way to do something different. Go out of your way to make an impact. Be generous with somebody. You know, the other day I was out at the big local grocery store chain, the biggest one in Texas. It's called H-E-B. And so I was at H-E-B, and there were some girls out there, Girl Scouts, that were selling Girl Scout cookies. I think the sale's over now, but it's a couple, 3 weeks ago. And I walked up, and as a lot of you know, I sit on the board of Mobile Loaves and Fishes, which is a feeding and ministry for the homeless and the working poor and housing as well. And I walked up, and I said, I think it was $200 or $300 worth of cookies. And the little girls were so excited. Oh my God, this is the biggest order they'd ever gotten and everything. And so, you know, what cookies do you want? Well, everybody likes the Thin Mints. And said, well, look, just give me a variety. Give me some of the ones that don't sell as well or whatever. I'm going to give them away. You're going to give them away. I said, yeah, I'm going to give them away. I mean, they were just dumbfounded, you know. And so one of the parents came up to me, and the girls were running around getting the boxes of cookies and counting and double counting, and it was really cute to watch. And one of the parents walked up to me and said, who are you going to give the cookies away to? And I said, well, it's Mobile Loaves and Fishes here. Have you ever heard of them? And they said, yeah, I certainly have. And so they called the girls over and had me tell them a little bit about Mobile Loaves and Fishes. And so in a small way, you know, I was just doing something nice, trying to be generous, trying to make an impact or whatever. But I never knew. I thought the impact that I was going to have is take a couple $300 worth of cookies out to community first and put them on the community table where some of the neighbors that have been pulled up off of the street could grab a box of cookies and enjoy some cookies. That was the impact that I thought I was going to have. But, you know, God works in mysterious ways, and all of a sudden I was telling the story of Mobile Loaves and Fishes to three little Girl Scouts, and they were all ears. I mean, there were other people. I had to do it quickly because there are other people waiting to buy cookies, but they weren't even paying attention to them. They were listening to the impact, because no one had ever bought that many cookies, and certainly not to just give them away. And so, again, I tell you that story only to say, how can you make an impact? You know, how can you, it's not go and buy $200 or $300 worth of cookies and give them away, but how can you do something different? You know, how can you do something different in your Ambit Energy business this week that makes an impact? You know, can you call somebody that's been inactive and take them out for a cup of coffee and just be their friend and talk to them about their why? And, you know, don't hit them over the head with, oh man, you got to get your customers, you know, blah, 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 blah. No, 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 no. Go and be their friend. Make an impact. You know, do something that is generous. Do something that shows how reliable you are. Do something. These are the words that came up in these conversations about my sister. Trust came up over and over again, and generous and loving. You know, go do something that's loving and generous to somebody. You know, instill some trust and some belief in somebody. Just go do something different. I can't tell you what it is, you know, but you'll find what it is. You know, if you think about the mind harbors ego, it harbors greed, it harbors a lot of things that aren't necessarily good. But the heart, on the other hand, harbors love. You know, so follow your heart, not your mind. You know, oh, I'm in a hurry. I got to go do this. I got to do that. No, you don't. What you have to do is you have to go give of yourself. You have to go be generous. You have to go do something kind. And what will happen is that the law of attraction will start to occur in your life. You know, people will start to see a change and go, wow, you know, I mean, actually took time to talk to me today. You know, he didn't even necessarily know I exist. You know, if you're in a position, say a management position, you go and talk to somebody you don't normally talk to. Do something different. You know, the key denominator here is different. Do something different that's impactful, that is going to show that you're genuine. It's going to show you're generous. It's going to show you're loving. It's going to bring trust between you and the other person. And don't do it for the glory. You don't go out there and do it for the, you know, oh, look how great and wonderful I am. Just go do it. You know, the real people that matter, the real people that that are watching and guiding you and you in your life are going to know what's going on. You know, be an agent of change. Do something different, you know. And we're talking about life in general, but I want to bring it back to your Ambit Energy business because I want to have an impact on that. Now, I want you to think back of when you got involved in Ambit Energy. Why did you get involved in Ambit Energy? Well, what I can tell you is that for 99.9% of the people that ever got involved in Ambit Energy, and we're talking about multimillionaires, and we're talking about people that were broker than broke, okay? They didn't even literally have a roof over their heads. They were living in a cardboard box under a bridge, okay? I've had some people like that in my organization that have gotten involved in Ambit Energy, did what they had to do to get involved in Ambit Energy. So, and everybody in between. You know, that you have this girth of people that get involved in Ambit Energy. Why did they get involved in Ambit Energy? The bottom line is that they wanted some money. Now, maybe for somebody who's really wealthy, they wanted some money so they could give it away to a nonprofit organization. Maybe for somebody else, it was just they were looking for $200 or $300 a month just to make a little bit of a difference in their lives. And for other people, it's turned into a life-changing event where they've made so much money and changed so many lives that you know, it's created generational wealth. And then there's people that got involved in Ambit Energy. They didn't do anything. They didn't get anything. You know, they wasted whatever the entry fee was at that particular time and whatever time they invested in it. So the bottom line is that, you know, why did you get involved in Ambit Energy? You got involved in Ambit Energy to make some money. Now, maybe it's turned into something much greater than that. You've met a lot of friends, a lot of great people. You know, it's helped you become self-confident. You know, I can remember people that joined Ambit Energy, and the first time I heard them speak, I just was rolling my eyes, going, oh, my God, is that person horrible on stage? And then come back 6 months later and go as a transformed person. I mean, they're incredible. What an incredible presentation they just did. So, you know, starts out with money, but it transforms into so many different things. You know, there's people that have met and gotten married and have children today because of Ambit Energy, you know. So it happens in a lot of different ways, going out and being a difference maker. You know, and I think if it is to be, it's up to me. You've got to be a difference maker from within yourself. You know, you've got to look at yourself and say, okay, how can I do something different? You know, the old saying, you keep on doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep on getting what you've been getting. Well, you know, there's no truer words ever spoken in the universe than those words, okay? You know, you want to wake up in the morning, you get your coffee, you get in your car, you go do your work. After work, you do this. You do, you know, how many years have you done that? You know, what is it that you promised yourself in New Year's resolutions that you did for a short period of time and you're not doing anymore? Is it weight loss and, you know, smoking, all the health-related things, all the financially-related things, all of the changes of, you know, time you're going to spend with loved ones, you know, whatever all that looked like, you know, the high probability is, the percentages would say, is that you're right back in that rut, okay? So how are you going to be a difference maker, you know? And then at the end of the day, when it's all said and done and you know, you're standing at the pearly gates with St. Peter, were you a difference maker, you know? When the judgment, you know, when the report card gets passed out at the end of the journey, you know, did you make a difference? Or did you not make a difference? And I believe that every single person that's on this call, every single person that's created on the face of the earth has the ability to be a difference maker. But I also think the vast majority of them choose not to be a difference maker. So you get to choose, you know. You get to look in the mirror and say, hey, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to be a difference maker. I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to do what I have to do in my Ambit Energy business to be successful. You know, hey, maybe you haven't gotten a coding check in a while. Set the goal to get one coding check. You know, maybe you're not promoted to regional consultant, so you can't get a coding check. Okay, well, then get a fast start bonus, you know, and keep getting fast start bonuses until you can get a coding check, you know. And then when you get your first coding check, say, okay, I want to get a coding check every week. That's my goal. Now, it might not happen right away, but you do what you have to do. to get the people in and help them gather their customers so that all of a sudden you get a coding check every single week, like clockwork, week after week after week after week after week. How does that happen? Well, when you don't have a big organization that's feeding people that you don't even know about, how that happens is it happens with the consistent, persistent effort over time. And you're not going to, you know, you'll go along and, you know, get a coding check and, you know, it might be 5, 6, 7 more weeks and get another one and try to get one a month, you know, try to get one to start if you haven't gotten one, or if you haven't got one in a while, try to get one and then count how many weeks is it before I got my second one. Then when you get your second one, say, okay, it was 10 weeks before I got my second one. I'm going to get my next one within 8 weeks, or I'm going to get my next one within 7 weeks. You don't have to say I'm going to get my next one next week. No, you don't have to. I mean, if you can, great. I'm not saying you don't want to do that. I'm just saying, you know, how do you steadily improve? And what I'll tell you is that you go out and you make a difference. And you don't make a difference every once in a while. You don't make a difference a little bit here, a little bit there. You see, the reason that those people at that hospital and all those coworkers and friends of my sister came up and told me all those nice things that were just so refreshing and so beautiful, it was just a great evening, is because my sister was a difference maker. She woke up every day and still does, wakes up every day and says, I want to make a difference. I mean, people are coming to the hospital, they're sick, they you know, they've got issues, they need some help. You know, I mean, she could have run through the pre-op stuff with them and you know, as an anesthesiologist, you can't drink this, you know, all the stuff an anesthesiologist does with you and can't wait to get off the phone with you. But no, she took the time to really care, and it showed in the fact that she was rated number one year after year after year after year in the department. So go out and be a difference maker. You know, you got to go look in the mirror. This isn't something dramatic. It's not something you got to go do something that's, you know, off the chain. Just say hi to somebody you see every day at work that you've never said hi to. Go introduce yourself to somebody. Go do a little volunteer work at the church. Maybe on Sunday you figure out what committee can you go get on at the church to make a little bit of difference. You know, hey, can I go join a Bible study and meet some new people? Hey, can I go join the coin collecting club and meet some new people? And this is what I'll tell you, is you go out and you start to make a difference. You start to make an impact. You start to have people think of you as those doctors and nurses and people at the hospital thought of my sister. What's going to happen is that not only are you going to be a better human being and feel better about yourself, you're going to see your ambit business start to get legs. Why? Because people are attracted to people that they want to be around. You know, people are attracted to people they want to be around. If you're grumpy and stumpy and all the time, and you're nothing but negative thoughts come out of your thing, and you're complaining about the boss, or complaining about this, complaining about that, who's that going to attract? A whole bunch of people that are just like that. You know, you think about it, you're sitting at the table at work or whatever, and you're all negative all day, every day, you know, that's one difference you can make. Go sit at another table. Go sit next to, hey, look, you can find anything in the world to complain about. I could spend as much time as I've spent on this call so far, about a half an hour, telling you and complaining about that party. You know, they didn't cut the cake fast enough. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. You know, put all that out of your life. Go make a difference in a positive way and in a very small way, and do it consistently time after time after time after time. I don't know what it is, but this is what I'll promise you. If you'll go make a difference and you'll stay consistent, persistent over a long period of time, you'll start to see a slow evolution. You know, it's just like losing weight. You know, if you've got to lose all that negativity, all that baggage that you're carrying around, you don't lose it in a day or two. You know, if you're 30, 40, 50 pounds overweight, you better plan on a year. Well, if you're years and years and years of negativity and not making a big difference in people's lives and being stuck in a rut, it's going to take you a couple years. And it's going to take a couple of years of a consistent, persistent effort. And when you do that, you will start to attract people not only in your life, but in your ambit energy business that will want to follow you. Because if you're negative, they don't want to follow you. I can promise you that. All right. Well, I know David had to get off the call early. I thank him for being on the call. I'm going to unmute us and let everybody say goodnight.